great message.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim. What a wonderful message that he had for us. And the confirmation, really, on what is going on. And no one really ever wants to hear all the bad news and all the bad things and all that other stuff. But, you know, we can't stick our head in the sand either and think it's going to go away, you know. Here we try to bring a fresh and living word. Basically, in the hour of what God is doing, in that moment. And if you look throughout all Scripture, the men of God were always hearing what God was doing within that moment. You didn't really hear anything that, you know, they were saying that would have affected something later on down the road unless they began to start speaking prophecy for the future. But most of the time, it was when God was doing something within that hour. And I truly believe that God is preparing his people for a new move. The wind's blowing, and we have to go the way the wind is blowing. And we can't, how can I say, have an attitude of, I don't want to go, or I don't want to do. You can be left behind, or you can go with the way the wind is blowing. And the way the wind is blowing, the way God has us, and the way he's speaking to us, I'm sure there's a great place he's bringing us to. How many of us love to go on trips? Okay. Well, before we go on trips, there's a lot of preparation, right? Well, the Lord began to start speaking to my heart to share with the people that we're going on a trip. And we need to start preparing for this trip. And this trip requires a good attitude. This trip, if you want to enjoy yourself, you know, you better know that we're going to a good place. And to change our attitudes and begin to change the way we're thinking. This trip is unknown. Has anyone ever gone with somebody and say, hey, just jump in the car. Come on, where are we going? You know, just get in the car. Trust me, just get in the car. Everything will be cool. Once we get there, then you'll see. I'm running late, okay? I don't have time to explain. Just get in the car. Has anyone ever entered into that kind of a situation? Now, when you got in the car and you finally bit your lip because of, obviously it probably was going against your grain, you were probably like, I'm annoyed right now. I'm not really into this. What's going on? You're catching me off guard. I'll go on trips when I'm ready, okay? Please don't do this to me. Where are we going, you know? And there's a little bit of a fight and a little struggle. Sometimes, you know, we might be in that mood and been waiting. Oh, yeah, I've been waiting for this. Sure, I'll just jump right in, you know? I have three girls, and I do this all the time to them. Come on, get in the truck. We're going. Where are we going? You got two that will be like, yeah, okay. And one, I want to go. I want to stay here, you know. Where I got two that say, I want to stay here. And one's like, I'll go, you know. So there's always, like, something going on in their lives that reflects that spontaneous, come on, I'm going on a trip. Come on, just jump in. Don't worry about it. And I feel that that's what God is saying to us right now. I got some plans. I can't really let you know all that I'm doing because you don't really comprehend. You don't really have the eyes to see what's happening. You know, there are 50,000 things that I'm doing, and you don't have it to be able to see it all. You don't have 50,000 eyes, you know. So just get in the truck. Just get in the boat. Just get in the ark. Just get in and trust me. And I believe God is saying that right now in this hour. Just jump in, just get in, and let's take this trip. And I'm going to share my words. I'm going to show you how to prepare yourself for what's ahead. How many people are ready to be prepared, ready to hear what God is doing within that hour? And by faith, we just apply what he's saying to us, and we begin to get ready. For one thing, there is a division that is happening, and we can't stop it. There's a division, and if you have eyes to see, you can see it. How many people have saw an outspread of hatred lately? Okay. We can't deny it. It's happening. Most everyone raised their hand in this place when they saw the hatred that is just being exploded. And, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of them are looked upon as good people. How many would you agree with that? I know some people that I am following on Facebook. I Facebooked, like, lots and lots of people. People that I don't even know in different countries. And, you know, you might get on my Facebook and say, God, Pastor knows these. I don't know any of them. So I'm going to make that real clear. I'm just starting to learn some of them. And I communicate. And I wish them happy birthdays and never had any situation about their birthday or whatever. But, you know, and there are some people that I do know, and then there are some people that I don't. But the majority of the people, I have no clue who they're at. I just befriend a lot of people to promote the ministry, to promote truth, and hopefully, you know, see what kind of spirit is being poured out in the world. And I'll tell you what, a tremendous amount of hatred. Tremendous amount of hatred in areas that they cannot control. And God is saying to us, you know, don't be that one that don't want to jump in the truck and have a bad attitude. You know, God's doing something for our best interest. And things are happening around the world in our best interest for His people. You know, God raises up who He chooses to raise up, and He takes away who He chooses to take away in areas in our life, friends, family, you know. How many of us just had recently friends throw some hatred towards your way? How about family throw hatred towards your way? You know, these things are happening. Tim spoke something about tribulation. Tribulation's about to happen, and, you know, we don't really know all the pain that is happening in each and every one's individuals, but we're all suffering at the same time. But one thing I will have to say is God has His people's back. He's always taking care of His people, no matter what. I began to speak to a gentleman. And I won't mention any names. He doesn't attend here yet, but Lord willing, you will. And he knows gospel. He knows gospel very well. Got a lot of knowledge. And one of the things was, and I began to speak to him, and I said, listen, God's releasing plagues on the earth. It might be biblical prophecy where there was four plagues that were released, four horsemen or whatever. And, you know, I don't follow biblical prophecy in the sense of the end times or anything like that. I just want to know what God is saying within that hour. I don't want to take anything in the scripture and then try to interpret it as if it's happening now. I just want to know what God is doing within that hour. How many people are like that? They don't want to try to interpret anything. They just want to know what God is doing within that hour. Well, that's me. I want to know what God is doing within that hour. And God began to start speaking to me about plagues that are being released. And I started sharing, and I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God was just blowing up inside of me and just pouring this stuff out faster than I can think. And when that happens, you know God is working through you. You don't have to think about what is being said. It's just flowing out of your mouth. It's just flowing like a river. Well, there was a river flowing. And in that, I was listening to what the Spirit of God was saying through me. And He began to start sharing how this one plague that is released is based on all the hatred that is being poured out right now. This is a plague. There's another plague that is going to be released. And then that is called rumors of wars, wars and rumors of wars. And then there was another plague that is going to be released, which has to do with famine and starvation. And then there's another plague that is going to take place that is economical crash in that sense. But right now, we are in a sense of two plagues that are being poured out. And what I spoke to this gentleman is I said, listen, there's no fear for God's people, because it's just like the vision when Moses went to Pharaoh and began to start saying, set my people free. And if you don't set my people free, I'm going to bring plagues onto the land. And, you know, you're going to start seeing all these things. He first turned the water into blood or whatever, and then sent a bunch of locusts. And then he went ahead and started to kill the firstborn. Well, all of a sudden, the Lord began to start showing me that there is another plague that is being poured out, and we can't stop it. But what he did show me was that if we would just put the blood on the doorpost. And I was like blown away. And of course we made jokes. Of course we're always making jokes, him and I. And he's like, did you save one of those goats in the back? And I said, yeah, but they used a lamb. I don't have a lamb. I only have goats, you know, that kind of stuff. But one of the things was I realized that the blood that was put on the doorpost was really just a faith in God, a faith to say, God, protect me. They didn't even have, if you noticed and you know the stories, the blood that was put on some of the doorposts weren't even like followers of God. You know, they probably never even went and entered into the church. I believe someone, I don't know who it was, put the blood on somebody's doorpost only because they wanted to save that certain individual that lived there. I think he was in love with the girl or something like that and didn't want any plagues going into the home. So they put the blood on the, and because he was like the next day, he's like, who put this blood on my doorpost, you know, and questioned it. And this plague didn't affect. It went right by them. And so what I'm saying to those that are out there listening, you know, don't worry about where you're at and your salvation and how holy you are and how good you are and all that stuff. If you're hearing my voice, just look up in the eye, up in the sky with your eyes and your heart and just say, be my God. Oh, hallelujah. Be my God. It's a God of faith. And to worship God with all your heart, soul, and mind is just to look upon him every minute of the day. Every thought, every action, every move you make with God. Just acknowledge him of who he is and how great he is. I was looking through scripture, and Jesus went through temptation. And at the end, his final message was to worship God. And worship him with, you should serve him, and him only shall you serve. How many have read that last bit that Jesus spoke to Satan as he was getting tempted by the devil? Okay. If you read that, okay, then you would see that what happened right after that? Satan left. He wasn't bothering Jesus anymore. He left. And then the ministering angels came and ministered to him. I truly believe if you tap into your heart and just click on this switch, God, I want you to be in my life. I want you to walk with me, guide with me, talk to me, and not be concerned about anything but worshiping him with all your heart, soul, and mind. I'm going to tell you right now, darkness is fleeing from you. It will leave you, and not only will we leave you, but ministering angels will come and minister to you. We all have problems. We all have trials. We all have tribulations. Amen? And because of those things, you know, God's saying, listen, you live in the world, and the world has problems. But I'm calling you to live out of the world. Not many of us realize what it's like to live in the world but not of the world. Okay? Right away, they want to release all their possessions. They think that a person with nothing is one who doesn't live in the world. That's a complete lie. You can have a lot of stuff. I want a lot of stuff. I want so much stuff that I can keep giving it away. Hey, I bought this today, and you know what? I really don't want it, have it. I can see you can use it. I must have bought it for you. But what God is saying is worship. It's all about worship. To be in the world, you're worshiping other things than him. You know, you might be worshiping your well-being, your family. You know, the things that you worry about, the things that concern you, the things that trouble you, the things that bother you. To be honest with you, it's worship. You're not releasing it. You're not letting it go. How many of us are really holding on to things and it's not really edifying? It's not really helping anyone. What's it doing? Well, you know, the sad thing about it is, and you might even be experiencing some deep pain from it, but through that, you're actually worshiping what you're holding on to. And they're like called false idols. You're idling things, and you're putting these things in your life, and they're idols. The things that you worry about, the things that you constantly reminisce on, the things that you are holding on to be honest with you, and you might not think it, you're probably saying, no way, I'm complaining about it. How could it possibly be an idol? No, it's an idol. It's an idol. Anything that's troubling your heart, causing you to be upset or worried, it's an idol. I'm not expecting you to really understand. You just have to believe what I'm saying. And you should be like, ugh. Throw it away. Crash it. Smash it. Do away with it. I don't want any of these idols. I want God. Because if you were truly worshiping God, these things wouldn't bother you. Persecution's going to come. How many of us got offended because we got yelled at or we looked at or somebody did something to us or said something mean or what have you? You got an idol in your life. You know what the idol is? You. You. We have to look at the levels of idols that we have in our lives and how they disguise themselves and how they come into our lives. What is taking our heart away from true focus on who God is? You know, the true focus in God is not my will, but your will be done. No power can come over me unless my Father in heaven has given it to me. You see, if God is truly for us, who could be against us? Now, didn't I just quote three valuable truths? So how could any of these things intervene in our walk? There are some things that God has been speaking to me about as far as preparation. We're going on a trip, okay? And one thing is we got to put the attitude down. We don't know exactly where we're going. Some are very happy to go because they just want to get away, okay? And then others are like, you're bothering me. I'm not ready for this right now. And can we, like, go next week? Can I plan for this trip? No, this is a spontaneous trip. You're going. We're leaving. We're leaving in about 15 minutes. You better pack up quick. And you know what? Maybe it's best to leave everything. You know, there's a scripture verse that says, you know, don't even run to the... What is that scripture verse that says about when he comes, you know, you don't have time, you know, you got to go, you know? There's a scripture, yeah, I don't know, but it might come to me. Let the dead bury the dead, and yeah, those kind of things, you know. And so, this is the hour that we're in right now. If you like it or not, it's the way it is. And some people don't like to hear these kind of things. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's another good point I'm glad that you brought up, because let's say now we're on this trip. Well, I haven't seen anything you prophesied about. Are we there yet? Now, I can't see what you're saying right now. I can't even tell. I don't even know. Are we there yet? We have to be patient and wait on the Lord. Has anyone saw that one particular scripture verse where the virgins had oil? And he said that, you know, you can't let your oil run out. And if your royal oil runs out and he comes and you have no oil in your lamp, woe you. Okay. How many people are like letting their oil run down? And that oil is worship. That oil is worship. You know, there's a point in our lives where we might get tired of worshiping. You know what? I'm a little tired. I think I'll take a sabbatical, you know, and I'll show up in a couple of weeks and maybe I'll come. But this should be on our heart 24/7. These things should be on our heart 24/7. One of the things that has saddened my heart is pain. I see a lot of people suffering, and I see a lot of pain. And I don't know why God has opened my eyes up to see pain. I don't know why. It's like, why did you do this to me? You know, I liked it better when I didn't see pain in people's lives. But it's like a light bulb. You know, it shines. Boom. I see pain. I see suffering. I can see it on them. I can see it on them, and you know what? I can't do anything about it. I can pray for them. Lord, please, you know, I pray for the ones that you sent me, but please. Just recently, I had a friend of mine, and we never really realized that these days are going to come. But he was a very good friend of mine. He was a big supporter of mine. I didn't hang out with him like a buddy, but he was, if he ever came to my home and he needed something, I gave it to him. Matter of fact, he has some things still over there that I haven't gotten back yet. But at the same time, I was always there for him, and I know that if I asked him, he would do anything for me. But we never hung out. Just recently, Friday, he died. He's gone. Greatest guy you ever would want to know. Nobody knows when our time is up. And I hope those that are listening can begin to realize that this isn't a game. That God is doing something within the hour, and thank God that we have ears to hear what he's saying within that hour so that we can be prepared for what he's going to do. Now, I truly believe I spoke to him enough, I know him enough to realize that he had a relationship with God. He built a church within him, and there was a sanctuary. And there was a place of worship that was built inside of him that only him and God had. And that's fine. You know, I encourage that those that are out there to build this church within them, but also don't neglect the fellowship of other brothers and sisters. Because I know that when time was tough for him, he always knew where to come. But wouldn't it be nice to be in that dwelling place all the time rather than just see you once a gray moon when certain deep troubles would occur? I knew when something was happening with him that, you know, he showed up and I'd be like, all right, what's up, man? Come on. Oh, everything's great. No, come on. You know, what's going on? I know there's a heaviness here. What's happening? Oh, and then he'll unload. Then he'll begin to unload, and then he'll leave comforted, you know, knowing that everything was going to be okay. But at the same time, we could enjoy that all the time, you know, have that all the time. That's the purpose of building the end time church, so to say, you know, where we can come together and be able to build and edify each other up every much often. I mean, every day. We need one another, amen? And so moving forward, there are certain things that God is saying that we have to prepare ourselves for. One thing is that you don't lean on your own understanding. So you can't figure it out. Don't try to figure what God is doing, because you can't. Things are going to change, and circumstances are going to change, and everything in your life is going to change. everything. Because you're going on a trip. Hopefully, you want to go on this trip. Hopefully, you're not one to say, I'm going to be left behind. I don't want to go. You guys go. See you later. That would be the saddest thing that you ever want to do. You want to get in the truck, and you want to go on this trip. There's preparation. I mentioned you have to change your attitude. I'm going to tell you, our lives are not going to be the way they were. Some aren't going to be affected and be devastated. Some are going to actually be blessed tremendously by it. We don't know who's who. It's like no one ever really realized that their oil was going to run out, and then when they thought that they had that opportunity to quickly go to the store and get that oil and then quickly run back as if nothing ever changed, he already came and left. You see? He already came and left. And then when you showed up with your fresh oil, hey, I'm ready. It was too late. Sorry, I came and I left. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? We have to keep our oil filled in this time of change. In the time of the hour where I truly believe that the age that we live in and the plagues that are being released, we need to not let our hearts get troubled. Rejoice in everything. And if I can specify it again, I say rejoice. These things are very, very important. We have to leave the old baggage behind because it's a new day. It's doing something new. I'm going to go back and refer to, you can't lean on your own understanding. So don't try to figure it out. You just have to say, okay, and turn on that worship music and just listen to the music. Just listen to that worship music. You got to guard your ears and you got to guard your eyes because things are going to be said and things are going to be done, and you can't look at it and you can't hear it. You just got to listen to the worship. You got to listen to the beautiful orchestrated worship of praise. You got to give thanks and just keep praising. Because when these things do enter into your head, they're like tactics of the plague. They're going to try to taint you. They're going to try to infiltrate your thoughts and your patterns, and they're going to try to persuade you into going into certain areas where you're not allowed to go to. You're going to be persuaded and drawn and pulled away, because those plagues out there are there to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. And we have to be serious about protecting ourselves. You know, one of the things is that in the last days, you know, these things will happen. But one of the things is we have to work out our own salvation. We have to work it out. And some things, which is one of the biggest, saddest things that God showed me, was that, you know, we can draw people to the water, but you can't make them drink. And you may have some loved ones that are living with you, or loved ones that are around you, or loved ones that you talk to every day. And they might be there left behind. And who's to say that God isn't going to allow that those plagues to affect them in ways where they're tormented? How would you like to be living with somebody you love and just watch them be tormented and you can't do anything about it? How many has ever been there before? You got a loved one who you try to pour in truth, you try to talk to them, make sense to things, and they just can't hear. The Lord began to start showing me that what happens is he turns them over to a debased mind. They turn them over. He turns them over. So that means that, you know, no matter what you do, he blinded them and deafened them and muted them. And that's sad when you can actually watch an individual who you love very deeply just begin to perish, die. You know, Friday we had a great service on Wednesday. I'm sorry, we had a great service on Wednesday, and it was a humorous type message, but it was a serious one. And it began to start talking about the apocalypse and how everyone's turning into zombies. And there's only a few running around, you know, trying to find salvation and running away from this death plague that is being poured out. And these zombies are biting one another. And as soon as a zombie bites somebody, they're plagued out and they're turning into zombies. And it's just like an outpouring. You know, we speak prophecy and we see things that are happening in the heavenlies, and we're a voice to the nations. And, you know, we started watching some of these zombie flicks, and one of them was Resident Evil, which is a major series. Has anyone ever saw that funny movie? Well, they're coming out in the movie theaters with a new one. And, you know, we have this fancy system that we can see the movies as they're coming out on the movie theater. And one of the things is we decided to watch. It was a bad stream, but we were able to get the gist of it. And he began to start talking about and referring to Noah in the ark. And I'm like, look at this guy. Look at this. They're prophesying what is happening with this new movie, and they don't even know it. Because we were talking about how Noah was building an ark, and we got to get into the ark because there's a storm coming, and, you know, we don't really realize what it is. You know, when they were prophesying, when Noah was prophesying about the plague, because he talked about how he destroyed the plague by sending a flood. And there was a plague of evil that was being poured out. And how God resolved it was he put the message in Noah, who was a follower of God, and Noah was told to prepare the people. But what was happening? Anybody know the story of Noah? Were the people listening? They mocked them. I wonder how many are mocking us now. I wonder how many people are saying, that's it. It's a little far-fetched. It isn't going to happen. Believe me, when God started speaking to me about these things, I was saying the same thing. It's far-fetched. It's not going to happen. Do you know how many people spoke this stuff in the past? That prepare yourself, and prepare yourself, and prepare yourself. And then the Lord began to say to me, like, hey, you know, there was plagues that came by and went. You didn't even see them. There's been plagues that came by as these people of old have been prophesying these things. They've already come and gone. They might not have been as big as you would like to see them, and then you can actually relate to it as a big plague. But they were some serious issues that came across at the time these prophecies were being unloaded. And I started to say, wow, you know what? You're right. We just didn't know what was a plague. You know, we were interpreting situations in the time frame of life, and we weren't really having eyes to see what exactly was the plagues that were being released on the land. And that happens. You look back, there's some pretty devastating times that this world went through. How many can just quickly see one? How about two? How about three? How about four? Man, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, show me a couple of them. Next thing you know, boom, 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 boom. I said, wow, there are more plagues that God released in the heavenlies that affected the whole world, and we didn't even notice. Thank God for his protection. But if you're hearing my words now, you may be a part of this next coming plague, because I believe plagues have been released throughout centuries. And some have not even been born to be affected by them, and we only learned from them because of history. But at the same time, we're actually going to experience one. We're going to be involved in one. And we have to be careful. We have to be prepared. And the simplest thing that God is saying to us to prepare ourselves, and I love simple. Don't make it complicated, okay? Just, come on, just tell me what it is and let me enjoy it, okay? I don't want this complicated guessing game thing. Even though I like puzzles and stuff like that, I don't really want to get into it too complicated. And God knows my heart, and he's like, listen, just get in to what I'm saying. Don't reject it. It's happening. And then just worship me. Just let me be your God. Rejoice in all things. And again, I say, just rejoice. Just praise me in all things. Just praise me and look at me all day long. Walk with me. Hang out with me. Become a child of God. Now, I was starting to speak messages about being a child of God, but the Lord said to me, you know, you're really not ready to know how to become a child of God. So he had to bring me back over here and begin to start telling you about what he's about to do and about the plagues and, you know, and this is what's happening and, you know, please believe, because back in Noah's time, when Noah began to start speaking about the plague that was coming, and it took a form of rain, okay? But it was a plague. A plague is what? Anything that kind of destroys, devastation, eliminates, takes out. Well, this is what's happening. God's going to eliminate and take out. Okay? And that elimination and take out can come into many, many, many different forms. But why should you care how it comes? The only thing that we should care about is not to be affected by the plague. Right? And this is why God was saying to me, we got to get it into the people to understand. Don't try to figure it out, but just be concerned about not being affected by the plague. There, it's coming, okay? And you know what? It might come and go and you never even seen it. That's a big blessing. That's the blessing I want. I went, Lord, do what you got to do, and I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I just want to be in my little bubble, you know, and have my own little party. You see what I'm saying? That's my prayer. So if any of you out there are thinking that I'm a doomsdayer and I want to see pain on people, I'm sorry, you got it wrong. I am one who don't want to see it. I am one who wants to be separated from it. I am one who wants to be in my own little bubble and let it all, let them all worry and work it themselves out with it. Let them deal with it. You see? But at the same time, if I'm called to warn or prepare the people, I got to get somewhat involved in it. So I have to bring it up. You know? I wish I could just say, hey, guys, the plague's coming, prepare. And let's go on for the next show. But it's important that I have to make sure that we see. You know, darkness is being poured out on all of us. And one of the things that I have to be concerned about is that when darkness does come and try to blind us, that I'm there with the word, okay? And the word is like a two-edged sword. And if I have to repeat myself 5 times until that word actually cut that darkness away from your eyes, then I'll do it. So some of you might be hearing something repetitive, and yet some of you might just see the first time, because my word finally destroyed the darkness that was over your eyes. And that's one thing that, you know, I will continue to be faithful and do, but then if I see that the ears have grown cold, I'm just going to move on. And then what happens there is you might be caught behind. And I've seen many that have just been left behind. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about it. The only thing that I have to be concerned about is be obedient according to this word and keep speaking his word. I can't get emotionally involved in what is happening. Just like when I said I saw pain. And when I see pain in people, you know, it hurts me deeply. But at the same time, it's a spiritual pain that I am not the healer. Okay, God is the healer of the pain. And the only way that he heals is through his word. You see? And so, matter of fact, before I began to speak, I felt impressed on my heart to heal individuals before the service even started. To ask anybody who has a sickness or an ailment that needs a healing to come up before I even preached. And the reason why is because God wants to touch those people like with an electric shock of healing. He healed me! And then that would help open their eyes to listen. You see? It's almost like God knows that the sick people are not going to hear. So I got to heal the sick first, cleanse the lepers first before they're able to heal. Here. I hope that I didn't miss it and there's some in here today that need a healing. Is there anyone here that needs a healing today? You'll take one. You take one. All right. How many, John, you need one? Good. How many others need a healing right now? Okay. Those who need a healing right now, I want you to grab a seat and just sit them up here and sit in them. Just grab a seat right now because I'm going to finish the message and God's going to heal you. Oh, hallelujah. He's going to heal you with your sickness, your ailments. And when he touches you, amen. 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 See, you're being healed already. You're being healed already. This is what it's all about. You receive your healing. I want everybody to receive their healing. One of the things that the Lord showed me was there was cancer on a woman's ovary. And this happened during worship. And John came up to me and said, there's a woman who has some feminine women problems going on. And I said, I know it has to be her. And he's like, she lives like right around the corner from here. And I said, oh, praise God. Here, take this healing cloth. Let them know that I saw cancer on the ovaries. And hopefully, maybe that's what it is, you know, and God will just release it. I saw a woman's face. She's not here today. Who came right after that word. And so I'm going to pray for her. Since she's not here, I'm going to pray. And that God will deliver her of this. And, you know, if you're here today, I'm sure she'll come and give a testimony. And when you hear that testimony, I want you to remember the word that is being released right now. When she begins to release the fact that she went to the doctors and she had cancer on her ovaries and then went back and the cancer is gone, I want you to remember this moment. Because God is a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. And he wants you to see him, to believe the word that is being sent. It has nothing to do about us having some miraculous healing powers or anything like that. It's about the God who we love so that we can go around and heal all who are sick so that the ears of those will say, there is a God, I just got healed, and I got to listen to the word that is being sent right now. God doesn't want any of us, okay, to be tainted and left behind. Now, Tim, I want you to take this oil, and I just want you to anoint your hands and just lay hands on each one of the heads of those that are right here right now, waiting on their healings. Your healings have already came. Okay, I want you to know that your healing has came already. When you took the seat of faith and you came up here and said, I want my healing, guess what? You have received your healing. To drown all our sins and come up again. Now it's very important to understand the word. The word is a weapon. When we hear it, it comes in and it destroys the enemy. It destroys the plagues. It destroys, you know, our sicknesses. It destroys our afflictions. It destroys those things that are attacking us. It's the word. The word that comes out of the mouth of those who are declaring the glory of God is the weapon of our warfare. Your healing has come. Your healing has came. And Sam, your healing has come. Your healing's it. John, you don't even have a healing and it's coming. You said, Lord, I don't need a healing. I'll deal with my affliction. Well, guess what? You're healed. I can see the healings that are happening right now. I see not only physical healings, but I see relationships being healed. I see situations where people have come against us and persecuted us without a cause. There's severe repentance that is coming to their heart right now. They are tremendously grieved for the things that they have said. That's your healing. It's almost like your heart cried out and said, Father, have vengeance on my enemy. I didn't do anything wrong and I'm being persecuted without a cause. There are many in your life and God is bringing tremendous amount of shame and guilt over the fact that they have lashed out and attacked you. This is what we're all talking about. Someone who has been having pain in their back right now is being healed. As soon as I walked over to you, I knew it. Now you're healed. We may still have pain, but you know what? That is a distraction from the word of faith. And so you just kind of laugh at the pain. Just say, it's a distraction, trying to steal my faith away. You're a liar. Because there's instant miracles, there's healings. But it's the word. And if it wasn't true, it would have never been said. I see a tremendous amount of an emotional pain being delivered right now. You've gone through a very hard time and you've kept it to yourself and only you suffered. And you have tried to share with others, but they don't have ears to hear and can relate to your pain. They have no idea. And you have just recently gave up in sharing your pain to others. And God is saying, I've heard your pain. And now I'm going to heal your pain. And you're going to watch this pain leave your heart. It's happening right now. Right now. Receive your miracle.